Thank you for joining us today for the fourth episode of the Whitaker Report, a discussion with thought leaders about the future of economic development and corporate real estate. My name is Dean Whitaker, President and CEO of Whitaker Associates, a data analytic company serving the needs of economic development commercial real estate organizations. I will be your host as we endeavor to see around the corner. Today we will be speaking with Dusty Deustermeyers, Senior Director, Global Product Innovation, Workplace Management, and Experience Services at JLL. He is currently responsible for JLL's digital strategy for integrated facility management. Dusty is known for his industry thought leadership around the corporate real estate and workplace technology. Dusty is also a regular media contributor and speaker for various organizations and events on the topic of what's next in the intelligent workplace technology. Dusty resides in Holland, Michigan, with his wife and three children. Please join me as we welcome Dusty Deustermeyers to the Whitaker Report. Dusty, thank you for joining us today, and we really appreciate your thought leadership in the corporate technology area, particularly the digital technology in the workplace. And so we're grateful for you taking your time to share with us some of your thoughts. And one of the ones that occurred to me right off the bat is, what is the intelligent workplace?
Yes, referring to my Cornet article. So the intelligent workplace is really, we were at the time, part of my goal was to put some level of definition around exactly that, right? There's all kinds of technology that's available to make your workplace more productive, a little bit more connected, especially in the rise of IoT. So it was kind of a topic that I had hoped to put out there in the workplace technology industry that would help folks understand kind of three different levels of that, if you will, which really kind of started with how can the corporate real estate and facilities team leverage simple things like badge data to just better inform, like, are the spaces actually getting used? So often if you're in that real estate seat and you're not looking at this low-hanging fruit, you're going to get asked by the C-suite, hey, is our Denver office, are people actually showing up? Or Salt Lake, or whatever, and you're going to have to make some phone calls, survey some folks to really get a better understanding of that information. And what's great about tapping into some of this level of data is it also kind of informs you of when you might be low on space. Wow, utilization at this office is actually in the 80-90% during Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, kind of a thing. So there were two goals: trying to help corporate real estate folks understand what data might be available, and then secondly, how we can start to streamline that experience. And so, yeah, historically we've talked about that initial layer of data that's there today. Maybe the second level has some level of adding possibly desk-based sensors. I know we're a big fan of a new technology called VergeSense, which is actually a ceiling-based sensor, and it's intelligent, meaning if it sees a backpack there or somebody's coffee mug, like it knows somebody's working or has signed into that desk, if you will, today, but they may not be at their seat right then. So how rolling out some level of IoT can inform that same type of data and actually a whole step better, because badge data really just tells you if somebody was there that day. It doesn't really tell you what space they used. And as we kind of gear up for a much more activity-based working in environment where folks might be going into the office but dropping their bag off in a locker and then using conference rooms or collaboration areas, sensors really allow you to kind of see what spaces are actually getting used. In fact, it's not uncommon that folks will kind of, you know, look at this and say, why isn't this conference room actually, it seems like it's never actually used. come to find out that there's a broken flat screen or something along those lines. So data never lies. And so we talked about connected workplaces, smart workplaces, but that top level is an intelligent workplace where that data is so automated, whereas it starts to inform actual building decisions. Let's say that you've got that data in terms of occupancy, and you're finding that really there's a lot of people not at the office on Friday afternoons. That really, if your building management systems are connected to a level where they honestly should be for a lot of reasons, that can inform your HVAC system directly to, hey, maybe we don't need so much air conditioning, you know, going to these rooms that aren't even occupied. Or if it's heat, like we're in the kind of tail end of winter, I guess, over here in Michigan, but maybe it would be, you know, redirecting warm air to the places where there are actual occupants, right? So it's that level of smart buildings, from smarter, let's collect basic information like desk reservations or conference room booking intel to kind of see how your space is being used, all the way to the level of that data informing actual change in the building. So really, really interesting stuff.
Very cool. I remember sitting in the restroom one time and having the lights go out. Do you have a sensor for that too?
Yeah, absolutely. No, but what's interesting, we have a sensor partner that in the midst of this COVID stuff, right, there's a tablet on the bathroom wall that basically tells you if it's safe to go in the bathroom, meaning in terms of social distancing. It will tell you, sorry, this is occupied over 60% or whatever, and it's not safe to actually go in there until somebody leaves, and then it's safe again. You know, is this going to be a thing in 6 months from now? That's, you know, we'll see. But yeah, it's really amazing how a whole level of new technology has been released kind of as a result of this stuff.
How do you help the employees of a company kind of get used to this? So I'm going to go into my office now, and it won't be my office. It'll be the computer telling me which room to go to use which desk. Is that kind of how it shapes up?
Change management. And Dean, that is such a critical question, because if employers are not sensitive to that, you're going to have some real extreme issues. I was consulting for a little Silicon Valley-based search engine company. We'll not say the name, but there, when this particular company was talking about a more flexible work environment, they had very senior engineers threatening to leave. In fact, I'll remember one of our workplace strategy team members texting me photos of some of the spaces of these senior engineers. These guys practically live in their space throughout the week. I mean, I guess I would too if the food is free and everything else, right? So, I mean, just gym bags, stuff, and just packed into their offices and or underneath their sit-stand desk and so on and so forth, to the point where, yeah, if you take that away, they had to be very careful about how they change. And in fact, in some levels, they did not make the adjustments to the level that they intended to. So if, let's say, the whatever 1 million square foot headquarters, if they wanted to go 30% agile or flexible, you know, maybe they ended up in the 20-ish range, because it is a very sensitive topic. And yet, if handled appropriately, especially as a result of COVID, I think people did make at least a minor investment in their home office setup. And so it's a trade-off of, well, if I can't have that dedicated space 5 days a week, at least I'm getting to just do my work from home once in a while, or really opening up the door to this work from anywhere. A lot more folks have booked Airbnbs and other places and in other countries and other parts of the country to just do their work from a warmer climate, if you will, for a few weeks. So there's a trade-off there, but we I've never believed in the midst of COVID and even pre-COVID, strategic consulting has never been more valuable. It absolutely is critical that you get that right. There's not a single approach that is the silver bullet. Rather, it's going to be different for the type of workers. So if the program really dives deep into what people want, what they're comfortable with, and does plenty of surveying in advance and rolls that program out slowly, if you will, I think it can absolutely be successful.
Where do you see things headed in the next 3 to 5 years? This is kind of near term you're talking about right now, but what's next? What comes after that?
Yeah, for sure. It's it's interesting for a company like JLL because we absolutely want to promote the office space. We think the workplace is where the magic happens. It's where you can collaborate and the best idea have formed the best companies, and so many of that will always be true. But even before COVID, we were absolutely seeing a rise in more flexible work environments. Even though the folks like WeWork and so on and so forth have had some troubles, we'll say I am a strong believer that co-working as a sector will absolutely rise like a phoenix. And that's partially because I think our last global employer survey said that as a result of COVID, people have worked from home, and there have been plenty of situations that have not been ideal, right? There's, kids schooling from home or other distractions, not having the right ergonomic setup and so on and so forth. So there are plenty of people that absolutely want to go back to the workplace, but about 70% said, yeah, but I don't want to go there every day. And so that in and of itself, and that's been consistent in the research I've seen from Steelcase and others, that's going to shift the quote assumption that workers have to be seen and in the office early and there till 5:30 p.m. five days a week. And what that's going to do to the overall office market is it will shake it out a bit, meaning companies are going to go through a very detailed process of figuring out what that balance is. I mean, pre-COVID, Microsoft did a lot of really interesting research in this space, and they actually used them themselves. I mean, they have a tremendous amount of space. And one product that they've come out with recently can really help a lot of folks with figuring out what's right for them. In fact, if you've if you're an Office or an Outlook user, you may get these insight emails every so often. They say, yeah, Dean, you should probably book more focus time, or you had X amount of meetings this week or whatever. And that's a free product called Workplace Analytics if you're an E365 customer. Now there's a back-end version of that data called Microsoft Workplace Analytics. Holy smokes. If you want to talk about, I don't want to use the term big brother because it's not, they anonymize down to 5 people. But if I'm HR, if I'm a C-suite going, well, who's working well from home or who's struggling? Who better than somebody who controls your emails and your schedule? To have the most incredible amount of data that I've ever seen. Again, we've historically leveraged badge data and space utilization data, but there's a whole rise in something called productivity intelligence. And Microsoft absolutely has a great corner on that. There's others out there like ProtoScore and a few others who've got application programming interfaces or APIs into not only Outlook, but things like Salesforce, Slack. And so they're giving a holistic picture into how much is Dusty actually working. Bottom line, where I'm going with this is that data will help to inform all right, if these people were, quote, more productive from home, well, then why shouldn't we let them work there at least a few days a week? And I think that shift in general, finding whatever formula that is, whether it's a policy of 2 days a week or really, really flexible, and maybe it's only when you're going into the office, you're booking a desk in advance. I mean, we've got a number of different models out there. KPMG did a really great space in the neo-urban community of Lake Nona. They built this incredible training center. And really the idea is most of the associates are either working from their home offices throughout the week or on client sites. So they shouldn't need huge office, you know, portfolios all throughout the country, but there absolutely is a need to get all in the same place every quarter or whenever for training, team meetings, and what they built is a really, really, I think it's an excellent glimpse into a future kind of club and hub model where, lots of folks will work from home during the week, but then fly into or drive into their hubs every so often. I think depending on the type of work, there's still going to be plenty of places where you're going to see people in a traditional office with close to one-to-one seating. But the trend is definitely for more flexible hybrid and we're even seeing some clients entering enterprise relationships with platforms like DeskPass or LiquidSpace or some of these others, where literally they can use their app to book a co-working space, but the billing and invoicing is all enterprise, meaning if I work for JLL, but I'm using my DeskPass app, it's being billed to my corporate solutions cost center. So Dusty never has to put in my credit card or expense it at the end of the month. My company just believes in it, and they're going to pay for X amount of dollars per month. P.S., those platforms also allow me to book my spaces at my headquarters. So now it's literally activity-based working, choice, flexibility. That's really going to be the way of the next 3 to 5 years.
I'm wondering about the engagement aspect of it. It's been said many times that many people are not very engaged in their work. Do you see this either improving that or going the other direction?
Excellent question. Yeah. So engagement has always been an interesting term, right? And productivity, same. You know, it's tough to necessarily define, because even if Microsoft sees that I'm in a, you know, maybe I don't have a 2-hour meeting blocked, or it's not my focus time or whatever, but there's just a 3-hour blank. I could be absolutely working or on a phone call or something that just wasn't booked. So does that mean I'm not productive according to Microsoft? It's hard to really lock in and measure some of this stuff. But I think where a lot of the C-suite from our client interaction, they see the workplace as a chance to still embed their culture. They want their brand to be seen. They want good friend of mine, who you may know as well, Ryan Anderson, who's now the global head of research for Herman Miller. He likens this next phase and hybrid work or the, you know, future to eating or dining. And what I mean by that is we can make a meal at our house, but we choose to go to the workplace for this elevated experience. That experience includes probably somebody who cooks better than I do. I can say that with full confidence. It's probably we choose places that have elements that will have a certain vibe or feel. I know not only the cooking, but the fact that I don't have to clean up that meal. All of those are benefits for going into the office. And I think for clients to have that flexibility of going to a certain co-working space based on the environment, or to go to headquarters and have that team vibe and that feel, absolutely, they are probably more engaged depending on the task that they're doing collectively. But if I've got somebody sitting in an open-planned environment, funny enough, in a workplace, technology has even had to solve for something as simple as distractions, meaning if Dean comes and taps me on the shoulder, yes, I'm working, but I could have really been focused on something. But now that distraction, although I love the conversation, it takes me on average, according to, Gallup and others, about 20 minutes to refocus on that task. So there's a whole new brand of do not disturb technology, including these little flags out of Luxembourg called Luxifer. They're $30. You can buy them on Amazon, and you clip them to your monitor, and it's simply red if you are into a task, meaning if it's reading your calendar and it knows you're on a Zoom call or whatever, that flag reads red. So people who may want to come up and say hello go, oh, actually, I'm not going to bother them right now. So it's, yeah, it really just kind of depends. I think a healthy balance. Paul Miller of the Digital Workplace Group out of the UK really, really said it well. Again, he's been dialing back on their company's office space for some time. But the fact that COVID has forced them to not physically gather as a team, I think he said it was 10 months or maybe it's going on 13 months or whatever it was, that has really hurt their culture, their engagement to a certain extent. So I think at a minimum, getting the team together always has tremendous benefits. And it's really just kind of finding that balance, if you will, in the future.
Very interesting. What concerns you the most as you look at your crystal ball regarding the future of the workspace and workplace technology? What concerns you the most?
All this stuff that we're talking about gets a little big brother-ish in terms of even Microsoft toyed with their workplace analytics tool to the point where they beta tested a productivity score, in which, again, that app ProtoScore, that's exactly what they do. But when Microsoft did it, which 90%+ of enterprise businesses are on Microsoft's platform, they put it out in the market and got a ton of pushback. And so they actually retracted that functionality, which again was going to say, wow, Dean had a 75% day or a 90% day or whatever. And on average monthly, his productivity score is this. I say that that trust is being kind of toyed with in this, trying to figure out this balance of home working versus the office. That whole realm is going to be sensitive for a while. Now, somebody like me, hook me up to whatever you want. I'm buried. Part of my responsibility is in APAC and EMEA. So I'm working too much, right? And actually that's probably the problem that I'm most concerned of right now. Until people find that balance, we are mostly all working from home. Our calendars are shared. People are able to put meetings on people's calendars. Again, we're not traveling. We're not, downtime to drive to the office or, a day in between the flight and so on and so forth. We're absolutely always on. And even Teams, if you're on a Teams call, they recently put that your meeting ends in 5 minutes. They literally added that feature so people can get a darn bio break. I mean, work is, if it's always on, people are going to burn out. And so that's probably where JLL specifically, we are double downing in our wellness. We truly have seen that as kind of a side consulting thing for a while, but we're absolutely trying to embed that into pretty much everything we do going forward.
Have you seen any counselors out, virtual counselors out there to address some of these issues, the psychological side of the workplace?
Well, yeah, it's I've been exposed to really the stuff that JLL has provided, which they have upped their, I'll just say, human resource benefits in that area. There's helplines, there's online resources, there's we've got now a 1-year subscription to an app called Headspace that, you know, can help us meditate and so on and so forth. So yeah, there are resources out there, and I think on the HR side of things, yes, our clients have really stepped up in that space. Where they haven't really committed to yet, you've heard some, you know, saying, well, we're gonna offer $1,000 for people to just set up their home office. Those are pretty unique situations. And I think a lot of our clients were trying to figure out, where is the market going to be? Where is COVID going to be before they just roll out capital? Meaning that they will, you know, commit to a long-term home office strategy. So what I'm finding right now are, in answering that question of what is that balance, they're trying to strategically do what's needed immediately. So we've helped a lot of our clients with ergonomics, so they can click on a link and basically assess their entire home office setup. So at a minimum, they can figure out, wow, I'm really not sitting the way I should be. The setup really isn't this, you know, kitchen table is too high. My ironing board sit stand desk conversion really probably isn't the best thing for me. And so we're trying to help clients immediately solve some initial things that they need to figure out, or else again, in Australia, a number of our clients, there are laws around this stuff. If the employer expects you to do your job from home, then the employer is actually partially responsible for having a proper setup. So we're not there yet from a U.S. standpoint. But I don't think it's going to be too long before you start to see some level of regulation in that area.
Very interesting. Well, this has been a delightful conversation, but unfortunately we have to draw to a close now. But Dusty, I just want to say thank you so much for taking your time and sharing some of your thoughts about what you see coming down the road. And when next we meet, I hope we are meeting in person at the coffee shop.
Absolutely. Dean, always a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Dusty. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Whitaker Report podcast, Seeing Around Corners, and a special thanks to Dusty Deustermeyers for helping us better understand the changes taking place in corporate real estate as we respond to the rapid changes in the world around us. Again, I am Dean Whitaker, your host. Please subscribe to the Whitaker Report podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening.